When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
It has been a while since we've had the chance to talk to Jason Swain, the former Tennessee great, now talk show guru in East Tennessee, about the Vols. I remember sitting on the hill with him a couple of years ago, and it was... I can't remember which coach he was that was at its near its end, but there have been a lot. Not this one, though. Josh Heupel off and running. Jason Swain returns to our program. And before we get too deep in the weeds, how are you, Jason? Thank you for being here.
I'm phenomenal. It's good to be with you. I think you're referring to Butch Jones and Jeremy Pruitt.
That is correct. I
mean, yeah, those two coaches. But we got our guy down with Josh Heupel, and everyone's excited about it.
Well, I know you had a chance to talk to him recently. Tell us what he said and where you see this program going in the future.
Well, Tennessee coming off the 11-2 season, a lot of momentum was created, Paul. And the next thing is, okay, can you put guys in the NFL? Because you can have a good season in the SEC. That doesn't mean you're going to have a good season next year. If you want to keep it going year in and year out, you got to put the guys in the league. And as a recruit, that's what you want to know. Can your coach put you in the league and help you reach your goal? Tennessee was able to do that this past year. Five guys drafted. Darnell Wright goes in the first round. Hendon Hooker is drafted. You got a pair of receivers drafted. And then Byron Young drafted. So you got a nice recruiting class. You're winning. And now you put guys in the league. And so this is really the start right now for this program to continue momentum. And Josh Heupel has everyone pulling in the right direction from the administration all the way down. And you've seen it. You've seen what Donnie Plowman and Randy Boyd and Danny White has been able to do so far with Josh Heupel. So things are just getting started.
Well, let's talk about what happens this year, because the rest of it can come whenever it does. But losing a lot of good players, but still having a number of them around. Let's start with the quarterback situation. What do you see?
Hendon was special. He was so special. His impact on this program, on this community, was something that we'll never forget. Of course, he played well on the football field, but his leadership, his ability to lead, was a big reason why this team took a huge jump. And for Joe Milton, coming in, physical tools, he has them all. I've never seen anyone throw the football the way he throws the ball. I played against Jamarcus Russell. I've seen Matthew Stafford throw the ball at Georgia. Joe Milton has a stronger arm than both of those guys. But we've seen Joe in two opportunities not be able to hold on to the job, once in Michigan and the other at Tennessee. But when Joe got a chance to just learn from Hendon, and these two guys were roommates, they were roommates at Tennessee. We typically don't see quarterbacks who are competing against each other decide to room with each other. But that was the best thing that ever happened to Joe Milton. And Joe got a chance to really learn how to be a leader and how to be a quarterback, not just throwing the football and handing it off. And so I'm really excited about Joe Milton. When he came in last year, he threw the ball with accuracy. We saw what he did in the Orange Bowl. So I'm looking forward to what he's going to do. He's the quarterback, Paul. He's number one. But Tennessee has a very talented quarterback behind him, and Nico Iaomaliava. So we'll see what happens with him. But Joe's the guy right now, and I'm pretty excited about what he's going to do in his last year at Tennessee.
What do the compliments look around him? Can it match up to last year?
That's the question. I mean, you lose a Jalen Hyatt, who won the Blitnikoff. No one could deny his speed. Cedric Tillman did not play a lot of the season because of the injury. But Brew McCoy had his best year of his college career. Last year, Squirrel White is a slot receiver that's very speedy, shifty. He had a coming out party against Clemson in the Orange Bowl. And Tennessee was able to go into the portal and get a guy like Dante Thornton from Oregon. And Ramel Keaton is a return player that had a huge game against Florida, the awesome diving catch had a nice third down conversion against Alabama, had a big-time touchdown catch against Clemson. Romeo is an upperclassman, and he understands it's his urgency to kind of finish his career out on top. So I know there's a lot of kind of new faces at wide receivers in the wide receiver room, but not really. I expect those guys to be successful because we are talking about Josh Heupel's offense. We know what's going to happen there.
We're talking to Jason Swain, former great, now talk show host. So speaking of Josh Heupel, what about the defensive side of the ball? Will it be better? It needs to be.
It certainly does need to be. I mean, the South Carolina game comes to mind. That was a rough one, giving up all those points. I feel like Tennessee has addressed a lot of those needs through the transfer portal at the linebacker position, the defensive line position, and at corner. And the recruiting class this past year filled with a lot of freshmen that were early enrollees. Get them that extra semester of preparation in the weight room, being a student athlete, get a spring practice under their belt, and that will help them be a little bit more ready come fall camp rather than being a guy that comes in June, July, and you're drinking water out of fire hydrant when you come in that time. But these guys coming in January, I think they'll be ready to play a lot early and contribute. But I expect the defense to be a whole lot better, and it needs to be. A lot of pressure, I thought, was put on the offense last year, and the offense was great. Don't get me wrong. Really fun to watch. But with the defense being better, special teams being better, it's going to allow the offense not to have so much pressure on it to score every single possession.
Pretty easy non-conference game with Virginia to start, to the road game at Florida early in the season. Some tough games, of course. Having to go to Alabama, but A&M at home. What do you think? Most people have Tennessee's number somewhere between 9 and 10. Can it get above that with Georgia, that late November game where the season could be on the line?
I mean, I think 9 wins, looking at it today, is a pretty fair number to look at and shoot for and expect. But I think if you're Tennessee in that locker room, you feel like you could do more. A&M, I think, is going to be a tough test. They have the talent. Offensively, I mean, it was just terrible last year. We expect that to be better with them bringing on by Petrino. Alabama, they'll be ready to go, man. They're sick and tired of hearing about Tennessee fans, including myself, celebrate the 52-49 victory here in Knoxville, where it was the greatest scene of last year in college football. So, Bama will be ready for sure. Georgia will be the test. They'll be tough as all get out. We saw what happened with South Carolina last year, so we know they'll be a tough out. But Tennessee has revenge on their mind. The thing about this season, Paul, versus last season, people started to kind of see Tennessee's offense in Josh Heupel's first year and knew what they could do. But last year, Tennessee went down to LSU, handled business, beat Alabama. So I don't think Tennessee's going to sneak up on anybody. And every team that's playing against Tennessee this year, they'll be preparing for that offense, which, again, will put more pressure on them to be really, really successful and go score points. But I see a really good season in the future. It always comes down to a few plays in the game that will determine if you win 9 games or 7 or 9 games or 11. So the guys can make the plays in crunch-time situations like you did against Alabama, like you did against Pittsburgh, like you did in some of those other close games. They may win even more than 9 games. But if not, it may be less. We'll see.
Jason Swain joining us, the former Vol great. We head to the break with your phone calls around the corner at 855-242-7285. We'll talk more about the chaos in the ACC a little bit later on.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. We are heading back to the calls. Andy is up next in Arkansas. Hello, Andy.
Hi, Paul. Appreciate the time you give me on your show.
Thank you.
A couple things, if I may. I want to talk a little bit about Arkansas baseball, LSU as well, and help Augie out. And then I just want to, about 20 seconds on the NIL. So I know Augie had a meltdown, and I understand that. Your team goes from number one in the nation to, what, 12 or 13. There couldn't be a better position going into the NCAA, bracket and everything like that. I like where they're at. They're a threat. And I have to remind Augie that they took 2 out of 3 from Arkansas. Arkansas beat them 9-3 the first game, and then they curb-stomped Arkansas, scored 26 runs in the next two games. That's the LSU team that everyone's afraid of. They slipped a little bit. It's okay. And then I want to remind them that Arkansas, a month later, lost 3 to Georgia. Then they lost a midweek game to Missouri State. Those were dark times, but I never felt like I need to call out the coach or the players. So, Augie, your team's going to be okay. They're in a really good position. And then on the NIL, Paul, is it possible when the NIL came out they couldn't have put a cap on the earning potential, D1, D2, D3? This is what you can make throughout the whole collegiate landscape. This is it. This is the cap. Could that have added help with the parity, and then you don't have what we're dealing with now, and it could have controlled things? I'd love to hear your response on that. That's just one of my harebrained ideas.
It could have happened had the NCAA passed NIL legislation. Remember, every state legislature right now is the ruling authority on NIL. There is no uniformity, and that's what they're trying to get. I remember talking to Tuberville last year in Washington, and that's the bill he was trying to pass with Joe Manchin. So you put a lot of teeth in the portal, and you cap it out where it is not the free agency, which it now is. Hey, thank you for the call. I appreciate it very, very much. JT in Georgia on the air. Hello, JT.
Hey. Hello, how you doing? I'm from Eatonton, Georgia, and I just want to talk about Georgia landing the number one recruit in the nation.
Sure.
And how that could maybe cause some controversy in the next year or two. And about how maybe Georgia could three-peat this year. I mean, they don't have a really strong non-conference schedule, so.
No, they don't, and that's going to be drilled into people's heads. Ultimately, this is going to come. The season will come down to about 4 games for Georgia. It's the Tennessee game. It's the SEC championship game, and then what it always is, it's the playoffs, and that's what we're going to be waiting for. It won't be dissimilar to last year when Georgia cakewalked through most of the season. They had that one really big test at Missouri, and then all the hype for the Tennessee game, which did not live up. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Gray is up next in Wyoming. Hello, Gray. You are on the air.
No, it's Gary, Paul.
Gary.
Hello. Yeah. Hey, I've got a question for you that it's kind of an abstract, but if you had the opportunity to, and the reason I'm asking you this is because if you give me a chance, I want to follow up with something after you answer it. Give me your idea of what you would do if you were in charge of an offense, if you were the head coach, or you could design your own offense, what would it look like? I mean, as far as would your quarterback pass the ball 50 times a game or from that angle?
Gary, it would look just like what Josh Heupel is doing at Tennessee. Because I think the most difficult offense is the one that is virtually impossible to defend, and I think that's what he does. Where more conventional offenses are, unless you just have an overwhelming offensive line, an all-world quarterback, wide receiver, and especially running backs, I think those are far easier to defend than when you just fly people out in space.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because if you look, the value of running backs has just depleted over the years.
I mean, absolutely.
You grew up in a time where ball control was
sure.
It was it. I mean, if you had an offense that could hold the ball for 8 or 9 minutes a quarter and run it 70-80% of the time, it was a very effective.
Well, Gary, the basic
well.
Philosophy of that won college football championships in the past was grind it out, wear the other team down, have an elite defense, and win the game in the fourth quarter. But what happened was, and Nick Saban was doing that very effectively at Alabama until 2016. Well, it was a little bit earlier, actually. It started in 2013, but in 2016, he was on the verge of a national championship, and the game got – there were so many plays in the game that his defense, which was elite – He had number one draft picks across the board. They couldn't. They were completely gassed, and it had nothing to do with conditioning. It had nothing to do with ability. It had something. It had everything to do with the fact that the game was 100 plays old, and nobody could breathe any longer.
And that's exactly my point, because if you go back to a time when people would say, "Oh, the Big 12 doesn't have any defense." The Big 12 was actually one of the conferences that was really starting to change. In my opinion, where they really had more of a spread offense, and they got away from the running game. They were scoring in 1 minute, and you're putting your defense back on the field again. Mine, Paul, have they gone to that style of offense because, particularly in the pros, because it's more just more exciting, or? I mean, if I were a head coach, I'd want to win the game, and I think I'd have the biggest guys I could in there that could hold on to the ball the longest and score.
It just hasn't worked as effectively. You're out in the Midwest. I mean, what did Nebraska build its reputation on in the 70s and 80s and
Oklahoma.
Even into the 90s? Yeah, Oklahoma, the same thing. Things change. And I think it's really going to be interesting to watch. You may have heard us talk about Nick Saban bringing in Tommy Rees from Notre Dame. He wants to go back a little more to basics. Will that be effective? But to do that, you better have a great offensive line.
Yes. And the other part of it, you know, they when you have an offense that's that effective, it even is effective against the other offense when they go back on the field, because it seems like there's a real rhythm that goes along with the quicker offenses, and you take them out of that, and it's
Gary, that's the best point I've heard, because when you run that type of offense and you score in a minute and 13 seconds, your defense doesn't get a chance to rest. And you want the old philosophy, all the old style coaches hate what's happening right now because the philosophy was very simple. And you need your defense. I mean, Swain mentioned the Alabama-Tennessee game. The end of that game was laughable, but the Alabama players were not as elite as they have been in the past, and they were gassed, and Josh Heupel literally made them look stupid on that final series. Let's continue. More phone calls. Coach Witt is up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. I hope you're having a great day, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call, and, unfortunately, the day I was born, I was cursed to be an NC State fan for life. And it's been some tough years along the way, but I think Coach Dorn's got him going in the right direction. But, you know, of course, with Leary leaving and going to Kentucky, I think with a new offense coordinator coming in and going there with Coach Stoops, I think he made a bright move. But what's really upset me here recently is Kimmy's Sumo Kambi, Kambi. I'm sorry. He's got a tough name to pronounce. But I really think, you know, he's a running back, and I really think he's a diamond in the rough. He had some injury problems this past season, and then he had some problems called Tim Beck, and didn't get a lot of yardage. But I really think Kentucky has done a great job scouting that kid and picking him up.
Yeah, I'm really excited by Leary, and I've heard some grumbling from NC State fans about last year, but he was hurt most of the season. Thank you for the call. John in El Paso, good afternoon.
Hello, Paul.
Hi there.
Yeah, John in here in El Paso. A couple of things. What's the craziest college football stat of all time? Number one, I think, was in 1938 and 39. The University of Tennessee was unbeaten and unscored upon.
Yes.
If I'm not.
And then, at least one of those years, you are correct. I agree with you. That's one of the that was a General Nealon. He had, you know, I think I'm trying to remember if Cafego was on that team. He had some great players, and I've never seen anything like that before. They ended up losing a bowl game, I think, but that is remarkable what happened.
Yes, sir. And number two, I saw on there 222 points. That was a Georgia Tech. They yep. had an opening date, and they were number one in the country at the time. My brother-in-law graduated from Georgia Tech, and he was telling me all about this. What happened was they got Columbia University of Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken.
Swanee.
And they had. Pardon?
So it was Georgia Tech in Cumberland, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, Columbia. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
And the score at the half, I think, was 120-0. And they scored, they cut the third quarter down to 12 minutes and the fourth down to 10. And they wound up 222-0.
Yes, sir.
And that was something.
By the way, John, I looked it up out of curiosity. Tennessee, I think, gave up in 38. They gave up points in the first two games and then wasn't scored upon the rest of the year. In 39, perfect. They did not give up a single point during the regular season. And then they played in the Rose Bowl and lost 14-0.
Let it all get it.
Yeah, exactly. But that is just to think about not giving up a point during the entire season, regular season, I should say. We'll be back. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We are back, and we are taking your phone calls, and let's check in with Bailey in Georgia. Hey, Bailey.
Hi, how are you, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
I wanted to ask you, what do you think of Georgia's chances of flipping some of the top five-star wide receivers since signing Dylan Raiola?
I think right now Georgia's chances of flipping everyone is very good. They're on such a roll at the moment.
Yeah. I also wanted to shout out Jermon Bullard. He's from our hometown, Milledgeville, Georgia. What do you think of Georgia's chances of flipping some of the five-star wide receivers?
Thanks very much, Bay. We apparently lost the end of that call, but we appreciate you calling. Chad is up next. Good afternoon.
Did you say Chad?
Yes, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, first-time caller. Don't cut
Thank
me short.
You.
I got a couple questions.
Of course.
All right, so Auburn, I'm going to reminisce it a little bit. So, of course, exiting Harsden, when we get a new coach, we've always had a pretty good season, going back to Malzahn, taking over, then Chizik, of course, Tuberville. Cinderella team. Let's go back to Pat Dye, 5-6, and then Auburn in the SEC in the 80s, and then Terry Bowden. And then every time we get a new coach, it seems that we go 5-6 or 6-5. And I think the transfer from Michigan State, I looked up his stats. Last year he had 1,600 yards, 7 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. He's a transfer portal senior. So I'm thinking he might be like just a backup, or is he going to start? Because those stats aren't that good. And then if you look at Ashwood against Alabama, he ran the ball pretty good. It's the only way we scored.
Yeah, Chad, I don't think they know, but I think they're hopeful that he'll play a lot and maybe start, primarily because of experience. And I'm not quibbling over stats. You're right. People that have seen him play have some questions, but I do trust Hugh Freeze, and he zeroed in on this guy, and he's an offensive coach. So I think he brings a lot to the table. They picked up that wide receiver as well. So it's going to take more. I mean, right now, Hugh Freeze's issue isn't good players. He has good players. He needs depth, and that will take some time. Thanks for the call, Chad. Thank you for being on. Jeremy is in Alabama as well. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, what's going on?
Hey there.
Hey, I just had this idea, and I actually had this idea a few years ago. So the ship, I understand, has sailed on this. We're going into a 12-team playoff or whatever. This idea would have worked better looking at a 16 playoff, but I still think it has some value, and I just wonder what you think about it. It's simple. Has anyone thought of ranking the conferences? And then, weekly, but then at the end of the year, say you close it down the week of the conference championship games, and then at the end of the year, you just have a much clearer picture of where all your teams are as far as how to seed them in the playoffs. And my idea, this would have really helped if we were doing a 16 playoff, because we could have easily just thrown the top four conference champions in the top four spots, and then had a couple of spots for your group of five, and one for a wild card. But I don't know. What do you think? You wrote a book on my conference is better than your conference or whatever it was.
Jeremy, it turned out to be accurate. I think it's an interesting proposal, but it's also moot because they have figured out a system. I don't think the system is great, but I think it's better than where we are right now. I really like the idea of bringing more schools into play. Right now, college football is very much a closed-in country club. Most schools do not belong or get invited. And I'm not trying to say let's try to keep up with the NFL, because that's not the path that college sports should aspire to do. But
I think we have to aggressively fight against it.
Well, I agree with you, but that fight is over because the NFL model has won, and it's won for a specific reason. The excitement that it brings at so many different places, which translate to what really drives college football right now, and that's television money. And it's pretty simple when you think about it. If you're Ole Miss, for example, or LSU last year, or Tennessee, or Southern Cal, or any number of other schools, Penn State, and you're on the fringe of making the playoffs, you are going to be more interested. And right now, you'll start hearing it very soon. Who's your top four? That's all we talk about in college football. And with 12, it won't be as easy because nobody has a top 12 in their back pocket. And as the season wears on, you lose a game, you're not out of it. You lose two games, you're not out of it. If you win your conference championship and you've got a good ranking, you're in the mix. And that has not been the case under the system. I will argue that the 14 playoff was better than the BCS, but it's still not great. And part of the problem with the playoff has been the games. They've been, in most years, the semifinal games have been awful. This year, the two semifinal games were great, and we danced with the devil too long on New Year's Eve, and we got the worst championship game ever. But at least we had a great New Year's Eve. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We're back, and Bubba is up next. Where you got, Bub?
What's shaking? What's shaking, Paul? How you doing today?
You called on a Randy day, too, Bubba.
Yeah, I know my buddy Randy's in there. I can hear him in the background. What's up, Randy? Hey, I heard you talking a little bit earlier there about some of the older style coaches not liking this new type of offense that's being played. And I think you hit the nail on the head with that. And honestly, I think one reason they don't like it, even like your five-star defenses like the Georgia, the Alabama, I think that type of offense puts more pressure on that defense mentally than it does physically. And I actually think that you can take a little bit less athletes and kind of even the playing field with your scheme. And I know everybody's jumping on Josh Heupel about it's all scheme. He's had some good ball players and still has. But I'm just wondering where he's going to be when he does start getting elite talent in there. I just think it's going to evolve even more. And what's your thoughts on
that? Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's cobbled together players that weren't in demand. I mean, Hendon Hooker was on the discount rack. Some of the other players.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've got a question I want to ask you about Paul Bear Bryant also, Paul.
Okay.
Bear Bryant was as old school as they get. You know that.
Yes, sir.
You're one of the few people that actually knew the man, covered the man, and were around the man. There's very few people out there today that can even say that. How do you think Bear Bryant would function in today's football environment, number one? And number two, how do you think the players would respond to him and his style of coaching?
I think he would function very well for this reason. What made Bear Bryant so successful was his adaptability. Remember, he started coaching in the 40s and he didn't retire until 1982. So he saw one of the great transformations in the sport, especially with the integration of African American players. And
absolutely.
So I frankly think he dealt with that. The Vietnam War was affecting the country in many ways. The polarization of Alabama being an outcast state in the 60s, that very few people out west, Midwest, East wanted anything to do with. I mean, it was an eyesore.
Absolutely. He went through a lot of trying times.
He went through
some really trying times.
And by the way, it cost him a national championship in 1966 because of the dislike. And by the way, the hatred of Alabama was justified. Okay, it was what was happening.
Oh, absolutely. But he was still dealing with it though. Yeah, but I think Nick Saban may be suffering from a little bit of what Bear Bryant might would have suffered with today, is the discipline. I don't know that all of today's athletes can acclimate to the discipline, and I think Nick's having a time with some of that. That's why some of these players, five stars are transferring out. I just don't think.
Well, Bubba, it is a fact. Saban was late to NIL. He the first year went by and he was not prepared for it, which is really saying something, considering how he has been at the cutting edge of literally everything that has happened in football for the past 20 years. But he made up for it, and now the issue is that he's got the most legitimate threat to his kingdom that he's had. He's had to deal with people before. He came in and at a time when Urban Meyer was at his peak, he had to deal with, as crazy as this sounds, Les Miles. He dealt with some other coaches as well, but he has not had Dabo Sweeney to a degree, but he hasn't had anything within the league that compares to Kirby Smart.
I think it's where Kirby got ahead of him, Paul, with the NIL. I think he got ahead of Nick right there, and Nick's been scratching to catch
well,
back
Jimbo,
up.
Well, Jimbo Fisher just obliterated him the first year go around. Kirby, what Kirby's done better than anyone else, though, is he's mastered what Saban did and has taken it to a school that has always been a sleeping giant. I mean, we all know Georgia has been sitting there for 40 years ready to explode. Thanks for the call. Peggy is in Tennessee.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Peggy, we're doing well. Thank you.
Well, I was thinking of you last night, Paul. I was at Thompson Bowling Arena watching Stevie Nicks, and it was wonderful. It was awesome. I can still hear. I can hear. I can wait. It's still echoing in my head.
Oh.
Do you like Stevie? I thought you might. But
I did.
Maybe
did she sing,
I
Took My Love, I Took It Down?
Yeah.
I climbed a mountain and turned around. I mean, that's one of the great, that's one of my favorite Stevie Nicks songs. It's a Fleetwood Mac song.
Oh, it was wonderful, Paul. It was wonderful. And then Sunday or Saturday down here in Newport, we had our Bluegrass Festival.
Really?
And the guy that did the singing in the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou was there, Dan Tominski, I believe. It was awesome, Paul. I got
that
close.
What was the name of that town again you're in?
Newport.
Oh, Newport, okay. So you're deep in East Tennessee.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Smoky Mountains way up our honey. You heard of Hartford. Hartford. I hear that life.
Ronnie Millsap on you here.
Yeah. Yes. I've got 10 people from Robbinsville, and is it Thompson or something like that? North Carolina.
Peggy, I wish I had known Stevie was at Thompson Ball. I would have driven down there and taken you.
I thought you would have. That's my fourth time seeing her. I've seen
Your
her three times
time
in Knoxville, one in Memphis.
I must say, even though I was a big fan of theirs in the 70s, I don't think I've ever seen Fleetwood Mac.
Well, I've never seen Fleetwood Mac. Now, I've just seen, you know, Stevie Nicks. I didn't get the pleasure of seeing them. And now Lindsey's mad, so the reunion tour is kind of on hold, I think, because upset about
Christy dying didn't help matters.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh.
There's a good way to screw up a career, a reunion tour is when your co-lead vocalist dies.
No.
Why are you laughing at Christy McVeigh's death? I mean, is there something funny about that?
No, sir. They had a tribute last night. Let me straighten myself up here a minute. I'm sad about it, but just the way you said it, Paul.
Jack Jones died today. Hey, that's hilarious.
It's on you, Paul. It's what you didn't say it seriously. Now you said it, so, and you made me laugh. It's not my fault. I lied.
Well, the next time I'll go into anchor voice when I deliver the news that one of the stars of Fleetwood Mac is gone.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.